I want to thank Dwight and Anthony and Josie and Patsy for sharing their unexpected blessings. And I am truly thankful that God does not throw the away. No pun intended. But you know, it is an unexpected blessing for me as a pastor to put out a request this week for people to share and for people to read, readings and readings that come starting next week, and that responses, and that's an unexpected blessing because that doesn't always sometimes ask people to do things. And the platform is kind of like pulling teeth, and they do it reluctantly, but graciously and willingly. I've had people step this year, and I really appreciate that. When I put out requests through an email, rhetorical questions, real questions, would you like to? So I really appreciate when people are willing to help. We have them, haven't we? We have all had unexpected blessings. If we all of you testify, I'm sure that all of you could in some way. Unexpected, you thought you were getting nothing, and the fact that you are getting anything at all was unexpected. An unexpected blessing is getting more than you ever bargained for. Kind of like that, peeling that wrap package and finding something inside it that you had no idea was there. And that's the case. Our way into one of America's favorite holidays, a holiday that is you, America. To my knowledge, country has no other country like we. This is a unique American holiday, Thanksgiving. We'll celebrate tonight, church, and then you'll see it plenty times over this week in as various ways. Tells a story of an unexpected blessing. In Luke chapter 7, if you care to go there or follow along on the screen, I believe it's up there. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11, while traveling to Jerusalem, Jesus, passed between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, "Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he told them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And while they were going, they were cleansed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, "Glory to God, except this foreign." And he told him, "Get up, go your way, faith has saved you." Heavenly Father, our great living and active word. And the proclamation of your word in Jesus Christ. In the story, there are several things I want to talk about. First is the characters. There are several characters in this story. There are lepers. But like the old child's game, one is not like the other. 10 lepers, one is very different. It says sort of an afterthought, and he in verse 15 was a Samaritan. He was the other. He doesn't belong. Normally you would never see Samaritan and Jews in any setting together. If we're in a country, believe me on this, our country knows no racial division like that between ancient Jews and Samaritans. Total enemies. They were worlds apart. All believed in the same God. They were as far apart as they could be. They were both racial and enemies. Racially, Samaritans were half Jews, and so they were not accepted. They were separated by religious beliefs as well. While they believed in the same God, they believed that the worship of that God was done very differently and very different locations. The Jews believed that Jesus was that God was to be worshipped there in Jerusalem. The Samaritan used at Mount Gerizim, high up in the mountains, for true worship. As the woman, if you remember, the woman at the well Jesus encountered in John chapter 4, I believe, she was a Samaritan. And they had this little argument, there too. Jesus said, you must worship in spirit and truth. And she said, yes, but we worship it in the worship at Mount Gerizim. That's where the Samaritans worship. That's where true worship place. And so usually the Samaritans were at odds. Not this time. Because you see, these were ordinary people. They had their cultural backgrounds, they had their cultural customs, they had their religious backgrounds, customs. But beyond that, ordinary people caught in extraordinary hardship. I can imagine that these lepers came from all walks of life. They were businessmen, they were shopkeepers, they were local vendors, they were family men, perhaps students at the local university. Tragedy has a way of thrusting people together with various backgrounds into comedy. Because hardship knows no direction. They're no longer known by their individuality, but by their hearts, by their experiences, by their combined life circumstances. A way of blurring the lines between the haves and the have-nots. We see it all the time, don't we? It's been a long time, but I remember the scene of 9/11 with of all walks of life walking the streets of New York covered from head to toe with ash, and that's all you could see was the ash. There was no value. And that's why, sadly, when natural disasters or some horrific thing take place, our society comes together because we are joined together by individuality, our common struggle, and so we lose our focus on who we are and we join our efforts. Because we are no longer known by what divides us, but common tragedy. It's the case with these 10 men. 10 men that, besides being a Jew and the others being, or one Samaritan and the others being a Jew, their individuals meant nothing now as they came. These were poor, middle-class people. Tragedy is no respecter. These 10 men came from all walks of life, and now they're thrust together by a common foe, leprosy. Which, by the way, is still in many parts of the world today. It was and still is a disease that actually causes parts of your bodies to fall off. You've seen Ben-Hur. You've seen pictures. But the physical disease was really, in many ways, was minor compared to the economic, the emotional, and spiritual distress this disease on these people. Because leprosy had psychological and physiological implication as well. You see, these people were cut off on many fronts. They were cut off from their families and their friends. Each one of these men in their own way had to fight to the ones that they loved. And as far as they knew, when they said goodbye that they left for the colony, it was goodbye forever. Goodbye forever. It was the last goodbye. Who knows when the last time was that any of these men felt the caress of their wife's hand on their cheek? Or when was the last time they got to hug their child, their grandchild? And as far as they knew, they never would again. Never again. So they were from their families and friends. They went off financially. They each, in their own way, faced the layoff of a lifetime. You know, living in the Gulf Coast with the refineries and the factories, and we understand some families going, we understand shutdowns and turnarounds and not family for a long time. But that wasn't the case with these 10 men and their families. When they died, it was goodbye. And when mom or or whoever it is, when they're in a shutdown or a turnaround or they're working someplace else in a long period of time, money comes back home. But see, these men were separated, not work, and so there was no money coming back home. There was nothing coming back home. They were cut off financially. There was no money to send home because they weren't off working a job. They were off being ostracized by society for a condition that they had absolutely no control over. They were not just cut off from family financially, but they were cut from society as a whole. They were lepers. In fact, any time it came in close proximity, even with the Savior, anytime they came within proximity of someone, they had to cover their faces, ring a bell, and yell, "Unclean, unclean." Usually at about 30 yards away. You see, no matter who they were or ain't now, they're outcasts. But perhaps most trials, they were cut off social, financially, cut off from their family, but most tragic to them was that they were cut off from God. Or that they were cut from God. We understand that God is spirit and God is everywhere. And I don't run with this, but you can worship God everywhere in church, okay? Don't take that too far. But we understand. You know, we worship God in spirit, and we can worship Him under. Belief was that God met with God's people in the temple. That's why you went to Jerusalem. Like we go to church. And that's where God dwelt. But you see, under the law, they were not allowed to go because they were unclean. They were not allowed to be, they were not allowed to worship with anyone else. They were cut off from God. And when you developed leprosy, you had to go and show it to the priest. If you're coming down with leprosy, because the priest kind of acted as a local health examiner. And he told you whether or not you were unclean. And if you were developing leprosy, you were the priest, and he certified you unclean. And then you packed your bags and you moved to the colony, and you didn't get to go to temple, and you didn't get to go to, you were cut off. So these were desperate, lonely people. They felt they had absolutely no one. But there's another character in this unexpected blessing story. Savior. Jesus. The Lamb of God. Away the sin of the world. That Jesus was of eating with tax collectors, sinners. Well, not just he did. Justification with the truth. Of eating with tax collectors and sinners, the one who hung out with all the wrong people in all the wrong places. You know, the one who ate with prostitutes. The one who let a woman caught sleeping with an man go and sin no more. That man. No punishment. No harsh rebuke. Just stop doing and go about your business. That seems so. Just maybe, Jesus would show them a little kindness. I mean, they had heard rumors. They had heard some about this man. So maybe he would show them a little kindness. He would be merciful on them. In fact, they just asked mercy, and that's where the expected blessing came in. So look at this blessing. The first blessing they get from Jesus is that Jesus gave them attention. Notice I didn't say Jesus noticed them. Everybody noticed them. They rang a bell and said, "Unclean, unclean." Everybody noticed a leper. We get that. Because we those people who wrong, don't we? You care. We know that. We don't like that we do, but we do. We notice people don't fit in. I being short, red-haired, and freckled. I mean, how could someone not notice them standing as ringing a bell? But Jesus did more than notice them. He gave them attention. He spoke to them. He didn't gasp in horror. He spoke to them. He didn't cross the street and walk down the other side. He didn't go. Talking about, well, do it. He didn't do any of that. He went out of his way. He took even for just a moment. He was on his way to someone else, to somewhere else. That's what me with showing kindness and passion is time, because we all have an agenda. Do you not think that Jesus had an agenda in Jerusalem? It was the cross. But he took time out, and he noticed these men, and he said to them, he went out of his time, even for just a moment, to interact with these men. See, this story is not just about the compassion of Jesus or just about unexpected blessings. This story is also an indictment on many of us, including your pastor sometimes. And that's a shame, because here's why. We all suffer from some form of leprosy. You know that? We all suffer from that we either don't like or that we hope nobody finds. We offer from that. Things that set us apart, things that make us feel unclean, unworthy, unwanted by everyone else. Oh, if they knew that, they wouldn't accept me. If they knew I struggled with, they wouldn't be my friend. If they knew I had that in my history, they would love me. We all know what we all have something that we would just soon keep hidden from everyone else, because if they knew, it would cut us off. It may not be as obvious or outwardly focused as leprosy. It may be something about us that we know, but the effects of it anyways. And we wake up every morning and we wrestle and we struggle with it. We allow it to cut us off, and sometimes even from God. You could not love me because of your blank. Reality is that we all are cut off from God. We really are. The Bible makes it clear the wages of sin is death. You cannot get any more cut off from God than death. You can't get any more cut off than that. And just like these men, not notices us, but his attention to us. He pays attention to you. Because no matter how ugly we may be to the rest of the world, he knows we are beautiful to him. We really are. The world had all but forgotten these 10 men. Have you ever felt like the world has just forgotten me? At some point in your life, I mean, nobody really cares. Nobody really notices. I know I have. I know the Old Testament prophet, he's on behalf of God's people, when he said, "The Lord has forsaken me." And I ever feel like that? God, where are you? You ever feel like that? And yet, you know what God comes back with? You know what his response is to the prophet? He says, "Look, inscribe you on the palm of my hand." Wow. God's got some pretty large hands, doesn't he? "I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand." So the first expected blessing was that Jesus would even notice them at all and take time with them. But that's not all. The second unexpected blessing men received is that Jesus gave them healing. And that's not what they asked for. Read it. They said, "Master, have mercy on us." I mean, I'm not sure how much they knew about Jesus. Oh, they knew an awful lot about their situation, and their situation was hopeless. Their situation was incurable. There was and is no cure for leprosy. So why ask for healing? We'll take it down a notch and just ask for mercy. Don't run away. Talk to us. Maybe some food. Show us some mercy. Instead, they simply asked for all they expected to get from this man who ate with collectors and prostitutes was a kind gesture. You know how we do. Perhaps the unexpected blessing was not what he did do, but what he didn't do. Shun them. Cast an insult their way, or in some backhand suggest, as we so often do, that they somehow did something to bring this horrible plight on themselves. they should have better. Well, if they would just stop. We're good at that, aren't we? Religious people are good at telling others why they're in the shape they are in. And left to our own devices, we are in the same sorry, miserable shape without Jesus. And Jesus didn't give them mercy, he gave them healing. He gave them healing. Unexpected blessing. And I don't know why it should be so surprising to me, maybe it's, or it shouldn't be surprising to him, because what I have found out about, what I have discovered about God who loves us is that always, when I'm dealing with the Savior, I always get more than I bargained for. Every single time. And it's always right on His time. But it happens all the time. You know, I don't think there was any doubt in their minds what was going to happen to them. The Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, He does is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask. Don't ever underestimate God's ability to give you more than you bargain for. We have the characters, we have the let's look at the response for a few moments before we close. The response was one of obedience. The lepers may not end on getting healed, but when Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest, that's when they knew. They when he said, go and show yourself to the priest, there was no doubt fixing to happen. So what did? They immediately turned around and they showed themselves to the priest. While they were yet unhealed, go show yourself to the priest. You see, obedience is the key to blessing. No, but God, or what about, or obedience. You see, here's what we do. We want God to bless, and then we obey. We want proof. We want God to bless, and then we will obey. But that's not the way it works. They did not wait to be healed. They acted as though they had already been healed. Do you see that? Do you get that? They acted as if they had already been healed. That's called obedience. It's also called faith. Because faith is lived like what you asked for has already happened. Heart, mind, and will of God, be it as. They just turned around and they showed themselves to the priest. And they figured by the time they got to the priest, they'd be cleansed. Be whole. They'd be healed. And I want to make sure that I don't mislead you, because this is not prosperity, pious guy, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it theology. But there is amount of believe it and receive it theology that is true here. You see, if we want blessings, we must live like we are blessed. I can't say it any other way. We want blessings. We must live as though we are already blessed. We must, if you will, go and show ourselves. Listen, if financial blessings don't just come, you must show yourself. Great marriages don't just happen. You must show yourself. Your jobs don't just happen. You must show yourselves. Good grades in school just happen. You must show yourselves. We call it study. It doesn't just happen. We must show ourselves. Obedience is always the way to blessing. And finally, there's another response that we see. There's a very selfish response. As a great act of faith and blessing ended in selfishness, and we need to be oh so careful here. Because 10 leave, and the one, perhaps I can say thank you. And he's around. Because it's so easy for us is to do what these other 9 did, or all of these 10 at took what they could from God, and they got their hurt made better, and they went down never looking back. And I have seen it time and time again in my ministry as a pastor. Oh, would you please pray for me in this area? And we pray, and God answers, thank you, God. I got my $5 worth of God, and I'm on the road, never looking back. On that way, but they did. They got their $5 worth and on their way, because too often God is not more than a good luck, and often He helps us with far more than we ever expect or deserve. And we never stop to say thank you, God. Or we do, we say thank you, God, and we move on down until what? Until tragedy strikes. And then we go back. You know, far too often, a friend came to him, how could you do this to me? Who picked you up? Who gave you your first job? Who lent you money and you out of jail? And his friend said, well, yeah, you did, but what happened? You can't say amen, you need to say ouch. But there is a grateful response in this story. 10 were healed, but one was grateful. And there's a difference. And that rings true for so many people. They gain some healing, but they are not grateful. And the really big surprise is who came back? The Samaritan. God's people, the one who didn't fit, came back. The one that in any other situation would be at total odds with Jesus. And yet he returned with a grateful heart. You see, it's so easy to snatch and grab from God and never return thanks and give it a second thought. I heard about the son of an immigrant shopper who came to his dad and said, Dad, I don't understand how you run this shop. You keep your accounts payable in a cigar box and your accounts receivable on a spindle. All your cash is in the register and you never know what your profit margin is. The old looked at his son and he said, Son, let me tell you something. When I arrived in the country, all I had was the pants I was wearing. And now your sister's a teacher, your brother's a doctor, and you're a CPA. Your mother and I own a house in this little shop. Add all that up and subtract the pants, and there's your profit. Right? Do you understand that all of your life is profit? Do you understand that you're not getting what you deserve? You are getting in mercy? Because what you deserve, the Bible says, the wages of sin, death. What you deserve, that's what I deserve. God's mercy is not what we deserve. God has given mercy, a whole lot else. I am so grateful that does not give me what I deserve. That song, I am so glad God doesn't throw away the clay. Because everything in death, which is what I deserve, is unexpected blessings. This man showed gratitude, and that led to unexpected blessings. Jesus tells him, your faith has saved you. This is one of those times where in early work and Bible translations, I really like American Standard. I even like James Version, which says, your faith has made you well. King James says, thy faith has made thee whole. That word well and whole are both the same word, and they are better. Because you can be healed and not be well. You can be saved and not be grateful. You can come and get your hurt fixed. You can actually be healed but not made well or whole. You see, one has to do with physically, the other has heart and attitude. Gratitude is a heart issue. It has to do with being healed. Gratitude is a heart issue. Healing, wholeness, our heart. Healing is great. It really is. And don't get me wrong, but I have to tell you, wholeness and wellness are wholeness and wellness is far better than healing. True wholeness, true wellness, and quite frankly, true healing comes from only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. And I just want to tell you that the greatest blessing of all, knowing that Jesus would leave heaven to come to earth and to love us and to die for us, actually want to have a relationship with us. Some of you have a relationship with God. Does. He left heaven so that we would not have to be separate from God. also that we could say that great old hymn, "My sin, O the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it is well with my soul." Well with your soul. Father in heaven, thank you for the unexpected in our lives.